is what we're going to do today. Our excuses versus God's promises. Amen. Tell the person next to you, our excuses versus God's promises. Say, my excuse versus God's promises. Now call your neighbor and say, your excuse versus God's promises. Amen. You guys ready to learn something tonight? Hey, listen, a lot of people have gifts, and sometimes they're not the good gifts. It's like the gift of excuses. Do you know somebody who always has an excuse? Yeah? Hey, bro, what are you doing today? Oh, nothing. I'm just chilling. Hey, man, you want to help me move? Oh, well, actually, I remember that excuse A, excuse B, excuse C, right? Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, you have some excuse, right? So we have a young man here, Jeremiah. A lot of historians and theologians say that Jeremiah, around this time, he was in his mid-20s. That's pretty young. Who's over 21 right now here? All right, for sure. Who's under 21? Oh, babies. Amen. So they say Jeremiah was in his mid-20s. I don't know. Look, the thing is, people say like, Mom, Dad, you don't understand. You're old school. Trust me, when your parents were young, they had temptations and they had parties to go to and get crazy. Trust me. Yes or no? Pastor Tamar, was there crazy parties and crazy drugs in your time of your mid-20s? You're still young, but I'm saying in your mid-20s. But she's saying, I'm sure there was. Trust me. What about the hippies and, you know, they mess with crazy, crazy drugs and this peace and love. Yes? You could think, my grandma used to tell me, I mean, they weren't as crazy as they are now, but she said, I used to go to dances. We used to drink. My grandma died when she was like in her 90s. She grew up working, building these, like all the, for Union Station, for all the trains run, all that. That's back when. She says, I used to go to these parties. We used to drink. And he's like, and back then in Mexico, they used to give us, if a guy wanted to dance with you, they had to give you a piece of bread, like a sweet bread, like Mexican pan dulce, right? Conchas. So my great-grandma says, dude, I used to come home with bags of pan, you know what I mean? And honestly, she's like, my mom was mad at me. She was mad because I would get home really late, but I would just bring all this pan home so she'd be cool, you know? But trust me, Jeremiah, I'm sure in Jeremiah's time, there were things that were appealing, just like Edgar was saying. Listen, guys, we could laugh and have fun, but listen, there were things that were appealing to Jeremiah as a young man. I could assure you that this scripture was written a long time ago, and trust me, if David dealt with it, if Jeremiah, we don't know, but there was appealing things that wanted to seduce young people that God had a calling on. Amen. So here we have Jeremiah, and we're just gonna read. We're gonna start with Jeremiah chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 4 through 14, and then we're going to break it down. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I'm young. Or don't say that I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull out, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time and said, what do you see? He said, I see a boiling pot, and I see his face is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forthon and all the inhabitants of the land. So we see here, God is showing Jeremiah something. But look, we're going to see, we're going to break it down. Let's go to our first point. And if you're taking notes, take notes. Amen. Woo, I'm out of shape. I'm really out of shape. I'm going to start running this week. I want to lose 25 pounds by the end of the year, and I'm going to do it. Amen. I say I'm out of shape because I'm out of breath. First point, amen. Excuse is too demanding. God tells Jeremiah, if you go to the verse that I got, no, to the verse. Remember I sent you a verse, brother? Anywho, go to my first point. I'll read it with you guys. First excuse is too demanding. God tells Jeremiah, I set you as what? A prophet to all nations. Is that a big calling? Is that a big calling, guys? That's a huge calling. A prophet brings word directly from God. Amen? Either for life or for destruction. Hey, repent or you will be destroyed. Is that a heavy word to bring to a nation? Imagine somebody got up in the White House and said, America, you better repent or God is going to bring destruction. Be like, dude, Chalice, right? They'd be like, what? This guy's crazy. They would be talking trash about this person in social media. They would be talking trash about this person. They would not want him. If they knew this person was going to speak, this prophet, look at what they did to all the prophets of old. They killed them. They slaughtered them. Why? Because the words that they were bringing were heavy words sometimes. Truth, but look, it was heavy words that would bring life if they would obey to what God was saying. Amen? So the first excuse that Jeremiah could have said was, hey, this is too heavy, God. This is too demanding. I'm not called to be a prophet. I'm just send somebody else. Haven't you heard that before? I said that before. When God spoke to me from a young age and said, hey, I want you to preach my word. I was like, no, my dad's a preacher. He could preach for me and him. I don't want to do that. But you have to intern this year. God is calling people to intern. No. We'll let Joel do that. He's an intern. I'm not an intern. Somebody else will do it for me. Amen? Come on, guys. We're speaking truth tonight. Amen? I'm speaking to myself tonight. Hey, lead worship. No, I don't want to give up my Fridays. Let somebody else do that. Pastor Tamara, you know, preach the word, give a word. No. I'll let my husband do that. He's the pastor, not me. Pastor's wife say that. We don't have a pastor's wife. We have a pastor that'll get up and will speak whatever God is speaking. Amen. Yeah. Well, I don't want to do food ministry this week. I want to do this. I'm called to teach. I'm called to do this. I'm called to be up here. No, you're called to serve in the food ministry. Serve people. Amen? Yeah. See, but look at what God says. The promise of God. Amen? God says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. See, I've already called you to be a prophet before you were even born. That's God's promise. See, when we bring excuses to our calling, when we bring excuses to our circumstances of why, you know what, I don't want to go to church because I feel like this and I feel like that. What does God say? What does God's word say about coming to church? Do not what? Do not forsake the gathering of what? The brethren. Amen. Be planted and rooted where? In a house, not in houses. I have friends, guys, that I've never seen them grow in a house because they go to different houses. They've been in ministry for 30 years, and their ministry is to visit other churches and meet friends and take pictures with them and talk about all the other churches that they've been to and how their churches, this church is, oh, this church is my favorite. That church was okay. That church was all right. This is my favorite. And then the pastor will say something. Oh, it's time for me to move on. Oh, this church is my favorite. Amen? Don't be that person, guys. I'll find you. If you could unlike something on Instagram, I'll unlike everything. I'm just kidding. I won't. Amen. Excuse number two. God's promise, it's my talent. No. Ashley, where you at, girl? It's 2A, bro, and then 2B, okay? Every slide is going to be 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B. I didn't send them like that, so it's kind of throwing me off too, but it's cool. Excuse number two, I'm not talented. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like that, like you're incompetent? I'm not talented. That's a lie from the pit of hell, guys. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Look, check it out. Jeremiah 1:6, what does it say? Jeremiah 1:6. Then I said, see, God didn't say this. Jeremiah said this. Amen? Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's just an excuse, guys. It's just an excuse. Look at what God says to him. Keep going to the next part. Do we have it? Again, God tells him, look, it says, he says, I'm just a young person. Jeremiah felt inadequate as a public speaker, amen? But look at what God says. Look at verse 9 here. It says, then the Lord reached out. He put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, it's not your words, guys. It's God's words. If God chose you, you don't have to worry about. This is how Moses felt. Don't send me, God. I can't even speak. Amen? And what is God's promise here? It's God's talent, not your talent. Everybody say, God, it's your talent, not my talent. It takes time, guys. I remember people laughed at me for playing the piano at church because I was like 9 or 10. And they say, damn, man, this kid is no good at playing the piano. My dad saw what God saw. He said, you know what? He's going to keep playing because he's called. He's got a talent, not because it's Isaac's talent, but it's God's talent. He always told me, man, when you were little, when your mom and I had your brother, he's like, God told me, hey, dedicate one of your children to me to serve me. And my dad said that he got on his knees with my mom and he said, God, I don't dedicate you one, I dedicate you both. See, that's a man of God of faith, amen. You have to say the same thing. Look, people might say that I don't have any talents. This world might tell me that I don't have any talents, but God has put something in me. Maybe you don't know what that talent is yet. Trust me, guys. God has equipped you guys with something special. Whether it's speaking, whether it's playing, whether it's listening, whether it's... God has given you talents. And guess what? He's empowered us with His Holy Spirit. Amen? He's going to distribute gifts in this place, and I know some people are going to say, well, I want the gift of healing. Don't focus on the gift. Focus on what God is going to do through you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Let's go to three. Excuse. The time is just not right, God. The time is just not right. I'm 18. I'm 17. I'm 16. I'm real young. There's a long time for me to serve. There's a long time for me to worship. Right now, I just want to do me. Have you ever heard that? I can't be with you right now because right now I just want to do me. We do that to God sometimes. Don't ever use that excuse to break up with a girl. Please. That's like the dumbest one. That's like the oldest one in the book. Hey, girl, I just want to do me right now. See, we do that to God sometimes. I've done that to God many times. God, right now I just want to do me. I don't feel real good. I've been really stressed. I've been really tired. I just want to do me right now. And God was like, dude, you're nothing without me. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? What do you mean you're going to do you? It happens in church all the time. God blesses you. And then I remember before I went to the police academy, Pastor Tamara brought me up here and she spoke a word over me and said, look, just because God is going to bless you, but just because God blesses you, don't take off. Don't leave the blesser once he blesses you. Amen? God's promise. Look, again, he says, Don't say that you're a youth. Don't be afraid. I have sent you. That's what God's promise is. I don't have any time. I don't have any time. This is not the right time for me yet, Lord. Send somebody else. No, God is calling you right now. Amen. I'm going to wrap it up. Number four, what's our excuse? The teaching is too offensive. The message is too offensive. God, I have to be politically correct, Lord. I can't preach to my friends because what about my gay friends? I can't. I have to compromise a little bit, God. What about healing? People don't believe in healing. I can't preach healing. People won't believe me. See, listen, don't worry about... I love what Rick Warren said one time. They were asking him about homosexuality. And he says, listen, I'm more concerned about God's opinion of me than your opinion. And honestly, he said, I'm not going to teach you what I think. I'm going to teach you what the Word says. Amen. So listen, teaching is too offensive. It's not too offensive, guys. It's the truth, and it's going to set people free. Amen. Look at what God says here. God tells them, hey, he said the teaching is too offensive. Look at Jeremiah verses 18 and 19. I love this verse, 18 and 19. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all, not some, not a modified message, not a compromised message. Amen. We come to a church where the Word of God is preached, and it's what? The infallible Word of God, uncompromised Word of God. We know a lot. I've heard a lot of preachers, and I know you have too, that they compromise all the time because they don't want to be too offensive. They compromise all the time because they don't want to be not politically correct. See, God is telling them, speak to them all that I command you. You know why people hate our president right now? I'll say our president. It's my president. Because he speaks the truth. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the Word of God, just being real. God bless America. Oh, that's offensive, brother. You don't say God bless America. Yes or no? Yeah. Is this heavy little... Hey, this was heavy to me when God was speaking to me. God, you know what, Isaac? You've compromised my word in some areas in your life. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Look at what the next verse says. Do not be dismayed before their faces. He's not talking about like... Your family, who cares? I mean, just be bold and speak the truth. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Lest I dismay you before them. Keep going. For behold, I have made you. See, when the devil comes and says you're weak, you can't speak this message. It's too bold. It's too strong. It's too offensive. Listen, this is what you tell the devil. God has made me a fortified city, amen. God has made us fortified cities, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you. Listen, guys, when you guys speak the truth, they will fight against you. They will resist your message because it's God's word. God's word is offensive, but it brings truth. Amen? And it keeps saying, look, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. God will deliver us, guys. Amen? 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 Amen. Last point, and we're almost done. Do I have to go now? Do I have to go now? Have you ever asked that? Have you ever asked that? Do I have to do it right now, Mom? Take the trash out. Do I have to do it right now? Right now? Can I just watch the TV for a little bit longer? What'd you say? You can't pause the game. Hey, yeah, you can. What game are you playing? Whatever it is, do I have to go right now? Hey, Jonah, get up and go preach to Nineveh right now. Do I have to go right now, Lord? Listen up. I'm almost done. Do I have to go right now? Nah, not right now. I'll go this way. Oh, what? Yeah, it's me, man. Throw me out the boat. That was me getting swallowed by a whale. All right, fine. I'll go preach now. I get it. You know how many people, how many young people lose the calling that God has for their life because they just wanted to wait a little bit longer? I remember when I was young, I don't use this because I used to feel like it was like a scare tactic for my Sunday school teachers, and I wouldn't use it. I grew up in a really strict church, an awesome church, but our teachers were like, they would pray like this sometimes. I'm not going to pray, but I'm just saying, all right, guys, who wants to accept Jesus tonight? Because you never know, if you walk out that door, you're driving and then you get hit by a bus and we'd be like, yes, we accept Jesus right now, you know? Listen, my Sunday school teachers love God with all their heart. And I knew the urgency that they had for us to just accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I'm not clowning on them, I promise. They'd laugh with us right now if they were here. They were that cool. But I'm saying, why wait for tomorrow for something that we can do today? You know? If God is calling you to do something, don't say, do I have to go right now? Jeremiah had all... He was young, yet he decided, he saw the vision. He says that he saw a pot tilting from the north to the south. And it's just an illustration of just the wrath that was going to spill out in the land. And God was saying, listen, go preach this. People need to know that I am a loving God, but I am a jealous God too. People need to know that I'm a loving God, but if they're doing, if they're practicing iniquity and sin, I can't be in the presence of that. And Jeremiah said, yes, send me, I'll go. Listen, let's be the Jeremiahs. The Bible says that Jeremiah, you know, when I think of Jeremiah as a kid, I think of him as a crybaby. If you don't know what I mean, read the book of Jeremiah, and you'll know why I say that he's a crybaby. And that could look as a weakness, but Joel just reminded us, right? Crybabies. God is looking for crybabies who will say, Lord, send me. I don't want to wait until tomorrow. I don't want to wait until I'm 25. I don't want to wait until I'm 30. And look at, don't think, well, God is calling me to be up here. Don't worry about this up here. Worry about... Listen, this is exciting, guys. The streets are the biggest platform that you could preach the gospel in. The street, the subway, the bus, if you're at Disneyland, everywhere you go, that's the biggest platform. Because look, all of you guys know God. Maybe you don't know God. All of you guys know God. Now it's up to you to be obedient or not. A lot of people out there don't know God. I'd rather preach to them out there that don't know God. I love you guys, but I'd rather preach to them than preach to you guys. Amen? Amen. We're here to encourage each other to say, hey, attaboy, attagirl. Awesome, let's pray for one another, encourage. But we're only doing this so we can go do that. Amen. We do this to encourage and to teach and to equip. That way you're like, all right, cool, I got my guns loaded. I got my backpack on, spiritual backpack, spiritual guns. Amen. And we're going to go out there and start slaying some demons and start praying for people, amen, and start doing the real thing out there, amen. Good to see you, Marcus. Bow your heads and close your eyes, amen. I'm not going to ask the worship band to come up. I'm just going to ask you one question because we're past 5 minutes. If you want to be like Jeremiah, no excuses. We've already seen what God says and how they beat our excuses real fast. If you want to be, listen, I'm going to, in the military, they say we're going to deploy soldiers out. If you want to be deployed tonight to do God's work, God is saying, no excuses. I want you to stand up. Just stand up and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to be the one to go out there and do your work. Come on. Stand up. And if you're like, I don't know. Excuses. Don't make excuses. I don't know. But I don't know anything about the Bible. I'll just come to church. Learn. We have awesome pastors that will teach you. Amen. Father, I thank you for this. Everybody lift up your hands. Father, I thank you for this group of people, Lord, for young kids that are willing, Lord, to be obedient to your calling tonight, Lord. We're done with our excuses. We want to serve you. We want to just go out there, Lord, and just bring people into your house. We want people's lives to be transformed, Lord. We want to see this group grow, Lord, not to just a couple hundred, but to thousands. Amen. And, Lord, it's going to take not a preacher, but it's going to take an army, Lord, of people that are willing.